The call is now recorded. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's IRD call on Monday, the 19th of September. We have Jim Galvin and Avery Doria from staff. We have Steve Sheng, Dave Piscatello, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies today noted from Rafik Damak, Steve Metalitz, Owen Snagelski, Julie Headland, and Samad Hussein and Edmund Chung have said that if they are late and unable to join the call, then they do send their apologies. If I could just remind you to please state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Jim and Steve.
Thank you. So we only have Avria. Did I catch that right? As a working group member, is the only other working group member on the call?
Yeah, we're outnumbered this time.
Yes.
Yes.
We lose.
Well, we'll just press on here. Avery, you provided some comments, so why don't we just press right into your comments and go along with them. I have a question for you, Avery, with respect to your comment about ASCII transcription in particular. I guess we're not calling out translation and transcription, you know, by language at all in particular, so...
Yeah.
It wasn't immediately obvious to me why we would want to talk about ASCII in particular. Could you say a little more about that?
Well, yeah, and as I admitted, I think when I wrote, this was just something that while I was sort of thinking about the definitions of, you know, translation and transliteration and such, what I think we've been saying is that, I mean, when we're doing a transliteration, my assumption was that we're doing a transliteration to characters. Now, that may be fallacious thinking, but that was sort of the assumption I had. In other words, we're doing it to something that we assume that is if not the first language, is the second language, is the at least online computer reading language that we expect to find most prevalent, and is the backwards compatibility. Now I may be wrong about that, but that's perhaps the question. It was an assumption I was making, but now that I say it, you know. My assumption that transliteration was going to ASCII as opposed to something else may be erroneous.
Well, the only thing, this is Jim again. I mean, I guess the only thing that I would say is I was trying not to express, speaking personally, trying not to express a particular preference for one language or another in either direction, either as a starting point or an ending point. I mean, at least for me, I felt like the issues are applicable, you know, more generally, and we wouldn't have to do that. You know, it's just you and I talking here at the moment. I don't know if you want to, you know, say more and try to just support what you're saying in a different way. But I guess we probably need more people in the discussion unless you want to...
I think the major point is the backward compatibility. My assumption had always been, not backward compatibility from a software perspective, but backward compatibility in terms of whatever we do, if we are saying that there is a must-have that is the what's the right... political, diplomatic way to say this, is the at the moment all that's supported is ASCII, and I guess we're removing that, but so it never occurred to me that A, we were taking out a notion of ASCII for the future, for the ASCII writing world, and that this was looking at substituting something for that. If it is, I'm not sure how that is said in this. So and perhaps I'm missing it, and perhaps, you know, someone can point to me where, yes, we made a decision that we were no longer considering the that ASCII remained the base of what the ASCII speaking world, or the ASCII writing world, no one speaks ASCII, the ASCII writing world was continuing to use. If that's not a valid assumption, then but I think also that there's really two pieces to this. One is that. The other one is, in any case, that whether it's ASCII or some other encoding, there will be, I am assuming, one of the expected encodings would be an English encoding or a Latin encoding or an unextended Latin encoding. Or perhaps an extended Latin, I don't know. But even then, if you're talking about scripts other than Latin / ASCII, if there is transliteration, it was kind of an assumption that that transliteration would be into the world's second language, and that we wouldn't be transliterating from Arabic to Hebrew necessarily, or perhaps I'm just underthinking this, and that was really one of the possibilities we were leaving open. I was kind of assuming that when people spoke about transliterating something, they would be transliterating it to, let's call it, the world's second language, the world's second script, and certainly the lingua franca of the computer industry to date. And I know lingua franca being English is kind of a tongueful. So those are assumptions I'm making. If I'm wrong, then it's good to know that. But those were assumptions I had, and I don't know if other people had them too. I might have been the only one that assumed that transliteration would come to, as I say, for want of a better word, the world's second script.
Well, I guess from my point of view, speaking personally, and this is Jim, I think that the phrase in that second recommendation about, you know, the issues report that we're asking for should consider whether it's desirable to translate to a single common language or not, or a single common script. And we, in fact, were leaving out a recommendation for any particular one, and thinking, at least from my point of view, I was thinking that the issues report would, in fact, look at that issue. Now, saying a little bit more as chair, one of my concerns was that you're right. One of our models was that, you know, U.S. ASCII in particular should be the default, and everything should sort of migrate towards that. And I think that's, you know, what you're, I believe that what you're reacting to is the fact that that discussion or that issue had existed, and we never really came to closure on it. And I think that that's the point of this recommendation too, at least from my point of view, speaking as chair. You know, the point of recommendation too is the fact that we had these four models and four possibilities, and we really couldn't come to closure. And even putting it out for public comment a year ago did not draw out any comments that allowed us to find closure, you know, not from my point of view. And the response to that, in my point of view, for, you know, speaking as chair, was this recommendation too, where, you know what, I think that is really the critical issue in this space of scope of things that we were supposed to look at. Yes, it's possible to display internationalized contact information, but there are deeper issues involved in deciding who should do that and, you know, how it should be done in terms of, you know, which language to transliterate or translate to or from. And so the purpose of recommendation two is to focus on that particular question and have that question revisited with a different set of people, because I also think we don't have the right set of people in this group to really address that question. So that's two answers. I don't know if that's helpful to you or not.
No, that, I mean, I think from one perspective, I think, sure, from a chair's perspective, to put things totally neutrally out like that is quite reasonable. I think from a common sense perspective, if there is to be any translation or transliteration, I can't imagine it going anywhere else. And I know that can get me pegged as a linguistic imperialist, but given the argument of the world's second script, I just can't imagine that if people say transliteration or translation is a good idea, where it would go. But as I said, at the second level, if there is translation or transliteration to some yet-to-be-defined script slash language, and leaving it that way, that's cool, but then that's where my next question comes in, and should it also be transcription? And so whatever we translate, transliterate to, do we also want to transcribe to, is a question we haven't asked. And so that's why I was saying, right, but you're right, I made a presumption about what we would translate or transliterate to, and I understand being totally neutral and avoiding linguistic imperialism about the world's second script, and I'm not going to try and make that change. I just think I can't imagine that we would all decide that Hebrew was the new lingua franca that we would transliterate everything to. Or actually, Korean would be really good too. They got a cool syllabic structure that if we all learned it, it would be really great.
Okay. So
I really love the way Korean works. If you've ever watched it on a keyboard, it's just really, really cool. But anyway.
All right, so do I understand then that we've answered your question, or at least I've tried to answer your question, and you're okay for now. You're not asking for any change or proposing any change for recommendation two, Ben?
Well, the only thing I'm questioning there is it an issues report on translation, transliteration, and transcription? That's the second question. Whatever it's being translated and transcribed into, while they're doing an issues report, even though we've never really talked about it here, do we also want to be complete in this issue and get transcription where it's the sound as represented in this yet-to-be-determined script-language?
Okay.
My linguistics right.
Then I think my reaction to that then is speaking as chair, then we need to get other people in this conversation and hear some other opinions. I understand that Bob Hutchinson's on the call. I don't know if he wants to say anything about this, but we need to press on the mailing list to see if we can get other people to say something about it too. I'm more inclined at the moment, so to make one last statement as chair and then see if Bob wants to say anything. As you did say in your note, I consider that particular change or suggestion for a change more on the substantive side than not.
Okay.
And at this point in the development of the document, I'd be looking for some strong working group support in order to make that change, before we would do that. So let's see where we can go from there. So let me ask if Bob wants to add anything to the discussion or not.
No, this is Bob Hutchinson. Heidi, I came in late. I was wondering whether Aubrey could explain what she means by transcription in this context.
Transcription basically is when you take the sound of something and you're representing that in some other script. So, for example, if we were using an English-based script, a Latin script, we would, and this is actually very similar to the way some of the keyboards at one point worked in Chinese, where people would type in the phonetics of the word as opposed to, character-based stuff, and the character would appear. And so basically what they were doing was they were typing in transcription using a Latin keyboard to type Chinese words, just like also in any language you could take a Hebrew word, and you could write it in Hebrew characters, but you could also write it in Latin characters. And that, the act of doing that, is not translation because you're not getting the meaning of the word. It's not transliteration because you're not necessarily having a strict mapping between an aleph is an a yud is an I, a lamed is an l. You're basically taking the sound of the word and reproducing it. So it's a third class of activity.
Thanks for clarifying that, Avery. I guess I'm okay with the way the recommendation currently reads. I understand what Avery is saying, and I guess I'm concerned that the way recommendation two would read to somebody outside of this conversation is going to be opaque, I guess that's the only thing I'd say about it, is that we've had lots of discussions about, you know, the different models, translation, transliteration, but we haven't made any progress as a group on recommendations about that. That's what this recommendation is about. So I'm supportive of the recommendation, but don't know if I can improve on the wording of it either.
Yeah, as
Thank
I
you.
Say, the only thing I would have suggested adding was translation, comma, transliteration, comma, and transcription, and left it at that. But as I say, I could put it in a comment later.
Okay, so let me also suggest, Avery, that you can raise this again and maybe find a way to push a little harder on this point here on the mailing list and see if we can just get a couple other people to stand up and have a view about it. I mean, I would encourage you to do that. I don't want to cut off the opportunity since we're not declaring, you know, absolute finality here. So there's still a window here to move this along. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I think that would be fine, and we can move on to the next comment that you have here about dates. Is that okay with you?
That's perfectly fine. As I say, I don't have a missionary zeal about it. It's probably the pedant in me that's bringing it up, and basically when I was reading it, it was a realization that one class of activity that is possible was not being considered. And I'm, you know, as much more at fault perhaps than most, because why did it take me this long to realize that and to not bring it up earlier? And I realize that bringing it up at the end like this is ludicrous. But just so you know, I don't have a missionary zeal on it. It's really the pedant in me that sort of says we don't have a complete set of categories here. So, yeah, I'll do that. But just so you know the kind of issue it is, it's not a, you know, one of my moral, human rights, whatever issues. It's one of my academic pedantry issues.
Okay, that sounds fine. Thank you. With respect to Aubrey's comment about dates, I think that's fine. We've identified a solid reference for how to do dates, and it's the only one that's popped up. So I obviously think that we should include a reference to that, and just as we've done with other things, you know, I mean, we've got a solid reference for dates. Let's put that in there and use it. I don't know if anyone disagrees. Steve, have you had time to think about that? Did you have any comments about using the date reference?
Yeah, I did check the draft Ekman guidebook, the WHOIS specification. Their date format also conforms to the ISO format that Avery mentioned. So I think, it's a good recommendation.
Okay, good. Then I'm glad we finally tracked that down and had something to say there. Okay, we had jumped to Aubrey's comments early on. I also understand that Edmund has joined the call here too. Last time we had left off after Section 4, right, Steve? Correct me if I'm wrong. So we had left just to sort of walk through the recommendations. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the appropriate thing to do here then is, as we were doing last week, let me turn this over to you, Steve, to walk through these recommendations and see if folks have any comments about them or questions.
Hi, everyone. Sorry to break in. Scott Austin. Sorry I'm getting on a little late. I just got off a conference call.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott, for joining us. So, Steve, so we're up to Section 5 here and these three recommendations, and let me turn it over to you to walk through those.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim, this is Edmund. Thank you for just listening, and I'm sorry for joining as I mentioned. In terms of Section 4, actually, again, I apologize for missing last meeting, but Steve and I had a discussion while we were talking about these issues at the VIP working groups, and one of the issues that came up was that we, in the whole scheme of editing, it seems like we have missed out on a couple of critical items in terms of the IDN part of in terms of the domain name description. So in terms of the data, and we're right now describing it only as domain name, and missing both the IDN tag, which is language tag, element, and also the variant element that is quite critical for IDN. So I thought it might be useful to bring that up as well.
Can you say more? We obviously do talk about the need for signaling. Can you be more specific about what you think we're missing and needs to be added?
Well, we had previous conference calls talking about IDN elements, the language tag and the variant. And right now, in terms of, for example, Section 4.2, it really just says domain name, and it should, identify IDN and, the various elements that is required.
So Edmund, this.
I apologize. I guess I'm not quite understanding what you're asking for, Edmund. I don't know if anyone else can add and say something.
Edmund,
perhaps Steve can add.
So for the language tag, it is included in the report. I think that's included in section 4. Let's say 4.4, and I think also 4.3 talks about the language tag. So, for example, at the end of 4.3, the working group would like to recommend an issues report on the subject. In the interim, the working group recommend that the directory service output should at least include tags to identify language and scripts. As described in RFC 5646, those who need translate or transliterate this information would at least know what language and script the contact information is in. So we do mention about the language tag.
Sorry for missing that. I think that would suffice.
There was a section
for the language tag part.
Yeah, there was a section in the interim report about IDN variants that that was not included here. For me, it was mostly I don't know where to find the right place for it, rather than intentionally omitting it. And Edmund, are you suggesting that should be under Section 4.2 under domain names that we are suggesting?
That is probably a good way, place to put it, because we spent a considerable time issues. So I think it would, we really should include it in the report.
Okay. What do others think?
So I'm sorry, this is Jim. Just a clarifying point here. So you want it included in two places in the report, Edmund, or are you comfortable with the fact that it's included here?
for the language tag, I think it's probably fine. I think we need to add back the variant section into 4.2.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to need some help here about what exactly that means.
So there was some there was an email I sent earlier about the there are like a chunk of text from the interim report that were not used in the final report. So let me pull up that maybe.
Okay, so look for message from Steve Shang.
First version.
Oh, and this, okay, it also has, okay, so from August 25th, and there's a document here that has the text from the interim report in it.
Yes.
Okay, and there is a discussion of variance in here, you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, query and display of variance.
Yes, the email is from, when was the email from? August 24th, 25th. Yeah, so there was a section on query and display of variants in internationalized registration data. And
So this is Jim. I think let me ask if you, Edmund, could say a bit about why you think it's important to include this text. I mean, from my point of view, we have gotten down to where our recommendations are, and I'm more inclined to include in the document, you know, those that information which is supportive of the recommendations that we have. So what I want to understand is how this variant text, you know, would improve our support or documentation for the findings and recommendations that we get to in this document.
Well, first of all, it's a fairly intricate discussion, and you know, while I'll be happy to go over it all over again, I think we spent at least three or four meetings on this to clarify everything such that we reach a point where we can actually make some recommendations that I think make sense. So I'd really hate to lose that work entirely, and I think it fits very well into you know, the what we need to recommend.
Okay, so this is Jim again. I guess while I appreciate the significance of variants, and I know that there's a lot of work going on in, you know, variant working groups here, case studies in ICANN, it's not clear to me how a discussion of variants, you know, changes or adds anything that we've come to a conclusion about here, even though we did have a discussion about it. You know, I mean, it's common in working groups to have discussions about issues, and you know, you have that discussion for completeness, but it's not a part of your final work product. I mean, I guess I'm interested in what others think. Avery or Bob, have opinions about this text and what we should do with it?
I actually don't. I think that within the number of things that are going to get covered in terms of looking at other languages, variance, however it gets solved elsewhere, should just follow. And so I'm not sure, I mean, I understand and totally support the importance of it, but I'm not sure that it is an additional problem that needs to be solved here too, And I'm thinking that it can just piggyback on decisions that are decided elsewhere about how ICANN is going to deal with it. But a mention that, you know, that that is an issue can't hurt, but I don't know how necessary it is. So I find myself sort of ambivalent, and that's why I was kind of being quiet part of all the whole thing.
This is Edmund again. I think the sort of recommendation that we came up with is, I guess the beauty of which is that regardless of what variants look like in terms of policies or whatever VIP comes up with, it still fits. And that's why, you know, that's why I think it's a gem that this group came up with, especially I remember during those discussions there were members from the Asian community participating much more in the discussions, and we were able to come up with this, this recommendation, and I think it would, because the whole point at that discussion was that the issue of variant itself is out of scope, but how it should be, how it could be incorporated into WHOIS in terms of the spirit of the WHOIS and, how the function of the WHOIS. The recommendation is quite straightforward and on the point, and I think is relevant for this group.
I think Edmund, let me ask the question in a different way. Do you think we need to make changes to our recommendations with respect to variants? I mean, if we add this text in, would that change any of our findings or recommendations in some way?
If you put it that way, perhaps one of the things is that we should ask staff to build on the discussions of this group rather than start from scratch, and that's probably the only change necessary in terms of the actual recommendation, because the actual recommendation itself is to ask staff to do more work. But what could be added is that this is already a result from the working group and something that works for this specific issue, or we can just generally say that the findings from the working group should be part of what staff should build on.
This is Bob Hutchinson. I guess I would agree with what I think Edmund is saying. We should make some mention of variants where we have the enumeration in 4.2 of the data elements, where domain names come back, and it's referencing both a A label and a U label, it implies there that there's only one variant that's returned, I would say. And I don't know where to put the concern that Edmund has, which is that variants be properly handled, but I think it's somewhere in the four series there should be notice of the fact that the system should return variants.
So Bob, you're suggesting to add something along section 4.2 under domain name?
Well, unless somebody has a better place to put it, that's. I don't know how you actually are anticipating returning the variants of a domain name, but that's where if I were looking for a combination for variants, I'd be looking at it in the domain name. So, the comment of what Edmund is referring to minimally, we should put a sentence in here that says variance should be dealt with according to whatever policy for variance is adopted by ICANN or something.
So this is Jim. I guess this is where I'm, you know, sort of falling on the side with, that Aubrey was describing. I mean, well, I appreciate the importance of variance, and part of the problem, in my view, just speaking personally about, you know, variance and these studies within ICANN, is there have been a number of different discussions about variance and how they are dealt with. I think that, as Aubrey described, they are important. But I think that whatever we say here, you know, variance will simply be incorporated and be a part of that as a natural evolution forward. The variant case study groups and that huge activity which is currently going on in ICANN, that's where, you know, variants are going to be addressed and dealt with, and what's going to become the policy, the overarching policy for how to deal with variants. And I would expect, as an ordinary course of things, that, you know, that will carry forward into whatever this work gets carried forward into. I'm really just not inclined to want to add something to this text that doesn't actually contribute to our actual work product. It adds, at least in my view, it's adding more of a distraction to this work than it is contributing to this work. Even though I understand the huge importance and significance of dealing with variants in general, I don't think it's important for us to pull that particular detail into this discussion and into this work product. So that's my immediate reaction to that. We've all four had a chance here to speak, so maybe now let me step and speak as speaking as chair, and I realize that Edmund is also a co-chair of this group, and speak about process and how to deal with this issue. I think, Edmund, prior to when you joined, when we were talking about transcription with Aubrey, I think that because of the lateness in the process of where we are with this document and the limited number of us on this call, and this seems like a substantive change in my view in terms of what we want to do to the document, the right thing to do here is to press on this on the working group mailing list. And we need to seek to get more opinions and hopefully consensus among those opinions about what to do about this particular text. I mean, I really don't want a wordsmith here. And I think that if you bring up this issue there and then have a specific proposal about where to put this text and how we could use it and incorporate it, I think that's the right thing to do in terms of how to deal with this document. Anyone want to comment on the process I'm proposing?
Hi, this is Edmund. Sure, I think that that works, and I can propose some text. But I was wondering if Steve has any thoughts on that, because we had a chat briefly about this. And the other thing is that I actually quite strongly disagree that this is the work that the VIP would be doing, because this is very specific on who is issues and not ID and variant issue. If you look more deeply into the results of the previous discussions, you would realize why that is the case and why that's a gem and why it's regardless of whatever that happens at VIP, this is still something that is useful for this IRD discussion. But anyway, I can certainly draft something, and I wonder if Steve wanted to add.
This is Steve. A quick note, Jim, the VIP is only an issues project, and they will not solve, you know, how variants and who is issues. What will likely to happen is they will identify that issue, and ICANN will ask, you know, whatever working group probably this one to solve that. So in that sense, the VIP only identifies issues, and ICANN is going to look for community to solve that. So that's just a clarification on the different works related. Perhaps I think for the time left, let's set aside the two issues. One is the transcription issue, one is the variant issue, and let's work through the recommendations. And then, you know, once we finish the recommendation, and then we can, if we have time, we can come back. Is that okay with people?
So this is Jim, and thank you, Steve, for that clarification. I think all I really meant, and I sort of spoke a little overstating earlier, is that, you know, the variant issue in general, the variant case study work that's going on is the starting point for how variants are going to be dealt with. Not that there's going to be necessarily any final resolution out of that. So, you know, your clarification, I take your point, and I sort of overstated exactly what the goal is there and what's going to come from it. So, yes, I agree with you. We should take those two issues to the mailing list. You know, let's look for some consensus on the list, and let's see if we can, you know, close on this document here by getting to the recommendations and focusing on those, because if we can get through them, then this document is done, and we can just close these two issues on the mailing list, and I think that that gets us to a closure point for this working group and this activity. So please, Steve, go ahead.
Okay. So the first recommendation is, by the way, this recommendation hasn't really changed from the template that we discussed a couple of weeks ago, that ICANN staff should develop, in consultation with the community, a data model for domain registration data. The data model should specify the elements of the registration data, the data flow, and a formal data schema that incorporates the standards that a working group has agreed on for internationalizing various registration data elements. This data model should also include tagging information for language and scripts, or all scripts. But it's probably language and scripts, because sometimes you need both to be able to do proper translation and transliteration. So that's recommendation one. It has not changed from the previous one. Any, I guess at this point, I want to say, any objections or any proposed changes to the recommendation?
Talking now.
Going once?
Wait.
Go ahead, Avery.
I'm just trying to see if I've had on this one. I wrote comments. Just on my attention wandered for a second. We're talking about three.
Recommendation one.
Oh, so
recommendation one.
No,
you
I
have
no
comment?
Comments on that one.
Okay. Going twice. Okay, I have not heard any objections. So I think from the process point of view, is this recommendation can be considered as almost final, except any objections raised on the mailing list. Recommendation two, the GNSO Council should develop an issues report on translation and transliteration of contact information. The issues report should consider whether it is desirable to translate contact information to a single common language or transliterate contact information to a single common script. It should also consider who should bear the burden and who is in the best position to address these issues. The report should consider policy questions raised in this document and should also determine whether to start a policy development process. Now, on this, I think we have the pending issue of transcription to be closed up on the mailing list. Avery also raised two important points. The first point is an issues report does not determine it should recommend. So the last sentence should be phrased, the report should consider policy questions raised in this document and should recommend whether to start a policy development process. That wording is very important in terms of from a process point of view, you know, what the issues report does and not overstepping what it should do. So what do people think of that change? Changing determine in the last sentence, last line to recommend.
This is Avery. I also had a comment on the first line.
To the recommendation one?
No. To recommendation two, first line.
Okay, yes. I'm just doing one by one.
Oh, okay. I figured since you did the second one and the third one, you had missed the first one. Sorry.
No, I will not. I think this is easier to tackle, so do that first.
I see.
Okay. All right. Any objections? Oh, okay. So let's revert to determine to recommend. So the second point that Avery raised is the GNSO Council requests an issues report. It is developed by staff, but ASAC can also request an issues report. And in fact, since this is a joint working group, it might be worth both the ASAC and GNSO requesting a common issues report. So I take that as a suggestion that a rewarding that the GNSO Council and ASAC should request an issues report. Is that true, Avery?
Yeah, that would be my recommendation. Certainly we have to change the word develop to request, just like we changed the word determined to recommend. And then the second is more substantive, that it should be both chartering organizations of this working group we should make the recommendation to. And I think it would be cool for ESSEC to have actually requested an issues report, since they've had the bylaws capability to do so since the beginning of time, but, you know, have never actually done so, as far as I know.
What do others think? This will be an important change. Okay, Jim?
I agree with Avery. The wording of changing it developed to request is the right thing. And Steve, you're right. It should say GNSO and ESSAC. It's a joint working group, so that's the right thing to do.
Thank you, Jim. Any other thoughts on this one? Going once, going twice. Okay. So did I hear someone wants to raise a point? No? Okay, so I will reword it as agreed. Okay, there's the third issue is the this pending issue about transcription. So, Avery, I presume that you take the action item to follow up on the mailing list to gather support to include that?
Yep.
Okay, all right. So that's the second recommendation. Recommendation three, ICANN staff should work with the community to identify domain name registration data access protocol that meets the needs of internationalization and the requirements enumerated in this report. So this recommendation primarily speaks to the fact that the WHOIS protocol has not been internationalized. And in absence of cross specification, various parties have implemented different solutions. And continual deployment will lead to inconsistent user experience and interoperability issues. So I think that's what this recommendation is speaking about. So any thoughts, comments, objects?
Yes, this is Bob Hutchinson. I would like to have the DNRD-AP abbreviation expanded for readability. here.
Okay. Sure. No problem. My apologies for using too many acronyms. Okay. Any others?
Yeah, hi, this is Scott Austin. Do we have any defined term of internationalized? When you say the WHOIS lookup data should be internationalized, is that defined anywhere?
That's defined in the definition section, what internationalized registration data means. Oh, you mean the WHOIS protocol has not been internationalized? Yes, that's discussed. Let me just pull up. That's discussed in section 3.3, second bullet.
Okay.
Essentially, internationalized meaning have the capability to predict or express text encoding other than U.S. ASCII. Any other comments on this recommendation?
This is Aubrey. I have one question.
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Is anything, and I'm not certain, I wouldn't be asking the question if I thought I knew the answer. Actually, sometimes I ask questions where I think I know the answer. But in terms of the issues report and other work we are asking for, will there be anything on in that that feeds into the description of needs and requirements? And so what I've been looking at is the word this. And wondering, is that the complete set, or is there something that will come out of this, the data model of recommendation one, or the PDP and issues report of recommendation two that would affect recommendation three? Is there a notion of sequential aspect to this? Or are we thinking that they could start recommendation three now and come up with a result before we've seen one and two? Is this an end-to-end-to-end project where they could start on it, but they need to, at a later time, take into account results from one and two? In other words, the fact that we say just this has made me look at this as kind of a scheduling event and trying to understand what we mean, and I'm not sure what we mean. Thanks.
Avery, I think that's an excellent question. And
thank you.
I don't know the answer myself, so that's an excellent question. Yeah. Jim, what do you think? Edson?
Yeah, so this is Jim. I guess maybe I had an assumption, and maybe it was an inappropriate assumption, but so we should think of ways to expand. When I see the phrase, you know, meets the needs of internationalization, I think the way I interpret your comment, Aubrey, is you're seeing the phrase in this report and seeing that as a qualifier on both sides of the previous conjunction. So we have needs of internationalization in this report, and the requirements enumerated in this report. I had assumed, actually, a broader context in the phrase, the needs of internationalization, to suggest that, just what Aubrey said, you know, one could begin this work in parallel, but obviously one would want to take into account, you know, all of the broader context that's appropriate, and other activities that might be taking place as a result of following on from this work product. But in the interest of clarity and being specific, you know, perhaps we should find a way to, you know, wordsmith this and reword this a bit so that we don't overly constrain what's intended to be the input to this work. And I think that's the point that Aubrey's getting at. We want to make sure that the input to actually looking to identify a protocol includes everything appropriate and everything relevant, whatever that might be at the time that they start this. Am I agreeing with you, Aubrey, or do you see that differently?
No. I think you're agreeing with me. I was asking it as a two-part question. One is what you just said, what we mean, and two, yes, I agree that if that's what we mean, we need to be more explicit about it. I mean, we could just add a phrase that says, you know, or a comma, needs internationalization, including the outcome of recommendation one and two, comma, and the requirements enumerated in this report, or something like that, if we're saying that, you know. And, of course, we can add the including but not limited to, or the Latin inter alia, if we wanted to. But, yeah, I mean, if that's what we mean, we should say so explicitly. Thanks.
Anyone else want to comment?
This is Edmund. I think I agree, and it's in line with my sort of earlier comments that that development should be, you know, should build on what we have done in this working group. So, you know, I think it's, we should add that in.
So, Steve, I think that's a little bit of wordsmithing that you could do. I like what Avery had just said there. You know, the little comma separated phrase there. You know, including any work products from recommendations, including but not limited to. You know, any work products resulting from recommendations 1 and 2, or something like that. So.
So,
how about if we ask you to develop something and then just call that particular change out on the mailing list?
Okay. So currently I have Hack and staff should work with the community to identify a access protocol that meets the needs of internationalization, comma, including but not limited to the work products resulting from recommendations 1 and 2, comma, and the requirements enumerated in this report. But I'll further wordsmith to make this clear. Any substantive comments and feedback on the recommendations? Going once, twice. Okay. Thank you for these recommendations. I think the two remaining issues is the transcription issue and also the ID invariance. I presume Avery and Adman is going to take this to the mailing list and advocate for it. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. That's the action in the case of those two items. So in terms of process, I think we have two choices here. I realize we're just about at the top of the hour, but maybe we can speak to this question here before we run off. I believe we have two choices. We can have the advocacy for these two issues and a last call in this document proceed in parallel, or we can serialize them and allow a period of time for Avery and Edmund to advocate for their issues and then issue a last call in this document within the working group. Do people feel strongly one way or another? From my point of view, just speaking as chair, the advantage of doing them in parallel is it may be that we can, I guess, correct me, Steve, or check me here, Steve. If we do them in parallel, is it possible for us to come to closure and get a publication before Dakar, or is that deadline passed?
The publication for Dakar is September 30th. And then, if the working group wants to finalize the report, then that needs to be published by September 30th. So
okay. Well, I don't want to artificially constrain our efforts. You know, we've been going on this long. So, I mean, if we can make September 30th, that's fine. And if we don't, I think that's fine, too. We can still declare success and announce that in Dakar. And, you know, the publication will just happen as soon after that as process allows. So I don't think I want to force us to try to be done by the 30th. But in the spirit of trying to achieve being done by the 30th, I would like to suggest that we, in parallel, do a last call on this document, as well as allowing for the advocacy of those two issues. So let me put that out there as a specific suggestion and ask, does anyone object to doing that? Okay. So hearing nothing, let me suggest, Steve, then, that you, you know, turn around this document as quickly as you can and, you know, put it out there as a last call to the working group. And just in terms of process, because Edmund's going to advocate for the one issue, you know, both Edmund and I should at least confirm the process and what we're trying to accomplish here. And then why don't we allow, can we say 1 week? I think we have to say 1 week for a last call within the working group, because otherwise there's no opportunity to even meet the 30th. So whenever you can get the document out in the next couple of days, Steve, we can have a one-week timer, and we'll see what happens with advocacy in the group. If working group members, you know, come together and support the group, then we'll make those changes that come out of those two issues. And if not, then I think the document comes to a closure at the end of the last call, and we press forward and declare success.
Okay.
So does anyone object to the one-week last call within the working group?
The only problem with that, and I don't know if it affects this group much, this is Avery again, is that people are about to head off, or at least various people are about to head off for IGF, and I don't know once they do to what extent they'll be paying attention. But other than that, so I don't know if that affects this group greatly. I know I'll be off what I've already reviewed. But, you know, if I don't get the thing, for example, if I don't get the thing written today, tomorrow for the list, I'm gone for the next week and a half. So other than that, nope.
So thank you for that, Aubrey. We could allow when we send out the last call, you know, for we get offered the option if anyone wants more time that they should, you know, also speak up and make that known on the mailing list to cover that possibility.
And
so how about if you do that, Steve, when you release the document, just say that we're going to, you know, we'll give a one-week last call, and if anyone believes that they need more time, you know, have them just ask for it on the mailing list, and then we'll see where that conversation takes us.
Okay, sounds good. And I'll try to produce it as fast, as soon as possible to accommodate Avery and others.
Sounds good. Let me ask if there's any other business.
This is Edmund. Just a matter of, I guess, process-wise, are we anticipating this to go out for public comments and then we would finalize it afterwards, or, you know, this is just going to go out?
Edmund, I think since there are substantive changes from the interim report, so this has to go out for public comment. Thanks.
That's what I thought, so I just want to make it clear, you know, as we put it out, our work is actually not done yet until the public comment period closes, and we probably need to consider the comment and then, you know, make final adjustment or the final report is final.
So, good point, Edmund. Thank you for that. Any other business? And hearing none, then I would say that we're adjourned. me say thank you to everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.